verses, beginning in verse number 31 down through verse number 35. Let me say thank you to everyone that came out to our New Year's Eve Watch Night service. We heard four great messages preached by the men of God. And I don't know about you. I think they should be on our YouTube channel. You can go there and listen to them and look at them. I encourage you to do so. Each and every one was a blessing, at least at this pastor's heart. And I know if God worked in my heart, he'd work in your heart as well. Just one quick announcement we want to remind you about. Next Saturday at 10 o'clock, we're meeting to take down the decorations here at the church. And you can see the tree takes a good bit of help to get that down and packed away. So if you can meet here next Saturday at 10 o'clock, we'll take down the Christmas decorations as we make preparations for what God has for us in the new year as well. Please keep in mind, a lot of our members are sick, and some are away, and some are at work. A lot aren't feeling well. Some have the COVID. Please pray for those as well. Thank you for your concern for my mother. I haven't heard any updates of this morning. I'll let you know as soon as I hear. I do appreciate your prayers for us and the decisions that we'll probably have to make for my mother. So thank you for your prayers for that. Well, today we think about the close of the old year and the beginning of a new year. A lot of people this past year have had a very difficult year. As a matter of fact, if you look back, the years 2020 through the year 2021 have been a difficult year for many different people. It may have been a time of pain for you, a time of grief or a time of loss, and maybe some unwanted changes inside your life. For others, this past year could have been a year of triumph and a year of blessings. But whatever it was for you in 2021, guess what? It's over now, and it's gone forever, never to come back again. The blessings and the burdens, the pleasures and the pains, the mountains and the valleys are just memories now in our mind, and we'll have to live with those. Today marks the beginning of a new year filled with lots of new opportunities. Many are looking at 20 and 22 with these two words ingrained in their mind already. And these two words often cause great fear and cause worry. And these words are simply this: what if? Think about it. What if? We look at the problems that you and I are facing and all the things that might go wrong, and we play the what if game inside of our minds. And here's the truth. Most of those what if mind games that we play within ourselves never ever come to fruition. And we play those games, we get all anxious, we get all worried about it, and those things never ever come to pass. But I don't want you to stop asking yourself the what if question. I want you to ask yourself the what if question, but I want you to ask yourself the what if question in an entirely new perspective. And I want you to take your what ifs and put them in the realms of what God can do for you. As we look at this passage in the early days of the New Testament church, we're going to look at that, and I want to show you what God did for them and what he can do for us as well. So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's words in Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through verse number 35. Then we'll pray and we'll think on this thought: what if for 2022? What if for 2022? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heart and our knee before you this morning, Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we can at least subjectively close out the old year, Father, a time of looking forward to what you have for us here in this new year. Father, I'm excited for the year 2022 and what you're going to do and in through your people and ultimately this church, Father, to reach the community with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I'm looking forward to the bus ministry, and they're working. Looking forward to the encouragers, looking forward to the WMF and to the ladies' fellowship and all that goes on in the youth ministry, Father. Father, looking forward to what's going to happen, Lord, as we seek to please you during this year. So, Father, help us this morning as we think on this thought, what if for 2022? Father, I pray if there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, that this might be the morning they understand that they're a sinner and they need to be saved, and Jesus Christ has died for them if they only put their faith and trust in him. So, Father, work in hearts and minds. Thankful, Father, for those in the nursery and those in the junior churches today. And, Father, I pray you bless those people that cannot be here because of sickness and work and other things that have held them away from the house of God this morning. Let them know we do truly, truly love them and miss them here at Sharon Baptist Church. So, Father, we pray and ask these things In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. So let's think about this thought. What if? What if? What if, first of all, this morning, this is the year of renewal. What if this is the year of renewal? That word renewal has many different definitions. It can mean this: a returning to doing something or to extend doing something. It can mean replacing something worn out or to repeat a promise. It can also mean replacing something used up or to make something new again. But one thing is for sure, when we speak about this idea of renewal, we're talking about a change, and especially a change for the better. So as we think about this thought, the year of renewal, what if God, in this year of renewal, number one, gave us a new beginning? What if he gave us a new beginning? You see, the early church was privileged to experience some great beginnings. The first came the day of Pentecost when Peter preached in power and 3,000 souls were saved and were added unto the church that day. In Acts 2 and verse 41, the Bible says this: "Then they were gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." What a privilege it was to be there that day. But then, not long after Peter preached the gospel to the Gentiles for the first time, the second great thing happened. In Acts 10 and verse 45, the Bible says this: "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, but that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." So we find out, first of all, that we find the Holy Spirit of God is poured out on the day of Pentecost to the Jewish people. Then we find out in Acts chapter 10, we find them really glorifying God, and the Jews are astounding that the Gentiles received the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. What if God gave us here at Sharon Baptist Church some new beginnings, just like it was in the early New Testament church? What if God gave us a new beginning? What if God made you new you? Yesterday we began a new year, but as I thought about it, is it really a new year? We woke up yesterday morning. Guess what? I felt the same way that I did the day before. I didn't feel any different. I thought about that. I still had the same problems I had the day before. I still had the same burdens of the local New Testament church. I still had the same needs that needed to be fulfilled in my life. I had the same worries. I had the same fears. In some ways, yesterday, the beginning of a new year, was just like all the other days. But in other ways, this day could be filled with expectation of new opportunities and new possibilities that God lies in wait for you and I. I guess really it's in just in all you have and how you look at it, their perspective, whether the glass is half full or the glass is half empty. And what if this was a year that God would speak to your heart and allow you to see a new beginning in your life? It can happen. On New Year's Eve, Tim preached a message entitled "Pray, Believe, and Receive." And basically the message said this: if you apply God's formula of prayer to your life with God, nothing shall be impossible. Understand, it can be a new year for you. For some of us, maybe this will be a new year that God redeemed you. That God redeemed you. Some have been coming to church for years and years and never have made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard message after message and preaching and teaching on God's salvation provided through his Son, Jesus Christ, if we just believe by faith, but yet still they sit unsaved here in the church. God wants you to know this morning that it's not too late for you. The time is now for you to be saved. Today could be the day of your salvation. If you know you're lost and you want to be saved, guess what? You can be saved today. This might be the year, or better yet than that, this just might be the day of your salvation. If you'll come to Jesus, guess what? I promise you this, he'll never turn you away. In John chapter 6, Jesus said this in verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I in no wise will cast out." Jesus said, just come to me with all your sin and all your sorrow and all your problems. He said, come to me, I'll not cast you out. I like what Dr. Luke writes in Acts 16. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt or will be saved." What if this year was the year of your redemption? For others, it may be a year that God restores them, that God restores them. Some of you have been walking at a distance from the Lord for many, many weeks and perhaps even years. You claim Jesus as your Savior, and if you prayed and sincerely meant it, you are saved and you are born again, but guess what? You're not living for Him. I'm guessing that you probably don't pray very much, if at all. And it's obvious by their lack of church attendance that they're not living as close to God as they should. I almost bet that they never even read their Bible on a regular basis unless some problem spikes up in their life. But what if this is the year that all that could be changed? Wouldn't it be a blessing to get right with God? If He's calling you back to Him and to be restored, why don't you follow Him today? Solomon said in Proverbs 28 and verse 13, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." David is in his confession to God in Psalm 32 and verse 5 said this, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." David said, "God, I couldn't hide my sin from you, and I understood I sinned against you. I confessed my sin unto you, and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin." Listen, God can forgive you for the iniquity of your sin as well. And of course, for the Christians in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sin, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What if, church, this is the year of your restoration? For others, it may be a year that God renews you. God renews you. No doubt there's some in this room who have been saved and have really been living right, but you just don't love the Lord like you used to. It's not that there's anything wrong. You still witness and you still read, you still pray, and you're saved and you're living right, but there is indifference in your life where there used to be concern. Indifferent about souls. Indifferent about your ministry that God has entrusted you with. Indifferent about the things that you used to care about. I'm reminded of the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, beginning in verse number 2. And the Lord says, "I know thy works and labor and thy patience, and how can thou canst not bear them which are evil? And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, labored, and hast not fainted." So He said, "Listen, I understand that you've been under trial and in affliction." He said, "Thank God for that. You borne that affliction with patience for my name's sake, and you haven't fainted, you haven't quit." But then verse 4 says this, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." You see, what I mean by that is simply this. Maybe there used to be a shout in your life, but now there's a pout. Maybe there used to be a zeal and a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ and His local New Testament church, and now that's gone as well. Why not make this year? Why not make this day a day when God begins to rekindle the old fires of passion and love for Him and the ministry that God has called you to? Take the steps mentioned and to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 and verse number 5, where the Lord says this, "Remember, therefore, where thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent." So we find that the Lord says, if you remember your first works or your first love that you had, if you repent from which you're fallen from, the love of Christ and the love of works and ministry and soul winning, and He repeats your first works, He said, then, only then, could you have true renewal deep inside your life. What if, just what if, this was the year of your renewal? But for some, maybe it's the year that God chooses to refocus you. There are some that have spent the last year looking back and longing for those things that are in the past. Others have spent their time looking around, wishing they had things differently inside their life. But I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul that writes to the church at Philippi in Philippians 3 and verse 13. He said, "Brethren, I've counted myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before. This might just be the year. It might even just be the day when the Lord refocuses your vision and helps your eyes to be focused upon the one person who really matters, the beginner and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today could be the day when your priorities are reset back in your life. And He allows you to run the race with patience and power once again. Hebrews 12, 1 and 3 says this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider Him that endured his contradiction of sinner against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind." What if this is the year of your refocusing? You understand this morning that these things can happen? And they can happen in your life beginning today, right now. The question I have for you, is 2022 going to be the year when everything changes for you? If the Lord is speaking to your heart about any of these matters we already have preached on, today would be a good day to change it, amen? No matter what it is, bring it to Jesus and watch Him change it. Well, not only could this be a year of renewal, but it can be a year of rejoicing. Here's the truth. I don't see very much rejoicing in the lives of New Testament Christians today. Most of the time, we're just down-in-the-mouth Christians. The world beats us down. Our family beats us down. Our jobs beat us down. But understand this, that we are to have a year of rejoicing. And I thought about that. Why is that? Why are we such down-in-the-mouth Christian? If you think about it, the early church prayed and God moved in power to answer their prayers. Notice what it said in verse 31 of our text. "And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Now, I know in this passage it doesn't say they rejoiced, but can you imagine just for a moment, the room or the place where they were was shaken, and they all began to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they spake the word of God with great boldness. Don't you got to believe that some rejoicing was taking place there on that day? The place they were there were praying was shaken by the power of God, and God moved in their midst in a very wonderful and unforgettable way. I even think about this, the apostles even learned how to rejoice, even in the face of opposition against them. In Acts 5 and verse 41, we find these words, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his shame. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ." Listen, I want to encourage you to go back and just read Acts chapter number 5. What a great chapter that is. Here they are, they get thrown in prison, the doors open, they get out, and the keeper of the prison says, "I don't know what happened." And the Sadducees, the Pharisees call for them to speak to them again, and the doors are locked, and they said, "We don't know where they are." Somebody runs up to them and simply says this, "Hey, they're back in the temple preaching and teaching the word of God." Listen, what an amazing thing God did for the disciples. We should rejoice in that. Number two, notice this. This could be the year that you could rejoice in answered prayer. You could rejoice and answer prayer. What if this was a year when God answers your prayer? Some of you have been carrying burdens for people and situations for months, some even for years. But what if this was the year that God takes those prayers that you've been praying for so long and does only what God can do? What can He do? Well, what if He just answers those prayers for you? Think about it. It's a real possibility that God can answer your prayers this year. After all, God promises to answer our prayers. Isaiah 65 and verse 24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them and ye shall have them. This could be the year when your children get saved. This could be the year when your grandchildren get right with God. This could be the year when your spouse comes to know Christ as their personal Savior. This could be the year that you obtained victory over a spiritual stronghold in your life. Maybe you'll see your finances change. Maybe your health is going to be restored. Maybe you'll see your marriage saved and renewed. This could be the year when you see the things that you've been asking God for that come to pass in your life. Thank God for that. This could be that year, so don't give up. Walk in faith. Believe in God. Trust Him for the things that you need, want, and desire in your life. If you quit right now, you may never know them to come to be realized in your life. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. The psalmist writes, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way to Him, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So here we have one of these verses that makes us feel good, but we find there's a commitment for God to do something for us. We find that we have to delight in the Lord, commit our ways to the Lord, and then, he said, trust in Him, and He'll bring these things to pass. Well, not only is this could be a year of renewal, it may perhaps be a year of rejoicing, but what if it would be a year of revival? What if this year, 2022, would be a year of revival? I don't see much in the way of real revival going on across America today. We're always reading about and talking about and hearing about and studying some of the great revivals of the past. I'm not against that. But that's in the past. I want real revival today. I want real revival right here at Sharon Baptist Church in 2022. We hear about revivals that are going on somewhere else. But what happens if this year God sends a Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival to Sharon Baptist Church? There were times of revival inside the early New Testament church. When the early church really sought the Lord in His presence, He met with them. It says in verse 31, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So in other words, we could say this, it was a time of revival for the people of God. God moved in their midst and they were changed for the glory of God. Notice that it says they were all filled. Could it be perhaps that you might be the one that's holding back a great revival that God wants to send to Sharon Baptist Church in 2022. Perhaps because you won't obey God. Perhaps because you turned away from God. Perhaps because you're not obedient to God. Understand this. There can be revival in this church. What if 2022, God decides to send a heaven-sent revival? It could be done. You know, we schedule a revival meeting every year, and we call it a revival, but I hate to say this, most of the time it's just a church meeting and not a Holy Ghost heaven-sent revival. Real revival is a time when profound changes take place inside the house of God. By that, I simply mean this, not literally the house of God, but the people inside the house of God. When there's real revival, notice in verse 31, we find there is power in worship. Notice what the Bible says. They spake the word of God with boldness. The preaching will be bold. The preaching will be powerful. There'll be a spirit of conviction inside the church. The altar will be full and will not be neglected. People will realize that they need preaching of God in their lives and will not neglect the assembling of themselves together as a manner of some is. We see real revival also bring in the first part of verse 32, zeal in service. Notice what it says. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. You see, God's people, if real revival takes place, will have a desire to serve. Just not outside of the church, but inside of the church as well. They don't have to be begged to get busy for God. They don't have to be called 3 and 4 times. They don't have to keep repeating, we have a need in the ministry, The service will flow out of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. When real revival comes, There'll be something else. There'll be unity in the church. In Ephesians 4 and verse 32, the Bible says this, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Think about it. When there really is a genuine revival that's taking place, forgiveness and reconciliation will be evidenced inside the fellowship of the local New Testament church. In 1 Peter 3:8, we find these words, "Finally, be ye all of one mind." Again, Peter is writing to the churches. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." You see, when real revival occurs, there'll be a mutual concern for other members of the church. It's found in verse 32 and then verses 34 and 35. When revival existed, they had a care and concern for others. The church will be in the business of caring for other people, not complaining about them. Galatians 6:2 says this, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Philippians 2:4, the Bible says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And the evidence truly of unity inside the local New Testament and church is found in Romans 12 and verse 15, where Paul writes and says, "Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Well, when a real revival comes, notice fourthly, love will be the foundation. I love the words of our Savior in Matthew 22. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." What are they? The commandment of loving God and loving others. Think about it. This could be the year of revival for Sharon Baptist Church. If it is, let me ask you this question. Are you in a position to experience revival with God's people? If you're not, the Lord can change that today, right now, for you. This could be the year when revival comes to your life. Not only your life, but your family's life and the church life and all those that are around us. Not only could this be a year of renewal, not only could it be a year of rejoicing and a year of revival, notice lastly this morning, it might be a year of reaching. You might be thinking, well, Pastor Kerr, reaching what? Reaching for my Bible? Reaching for this? Who or what are we to be reaching for? How about this, first of all? Reaching a lost and dying world. You know, we're told in verse number 33 that the early church was zealous for the lost world that was around them. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had great zeal and they were zealous in telling others what Christ has done for them. They went out and preached the gospel of grace. The Bible said in power and in boldness. What if this church totally sold out and surrendered to soul winning? Could this be the year when God would birth that kind of zeal into our hearts that it would remain instead of just being there for a while and then fleeting away for some other interest? Could it be said of Sharon Baptist Church, with great power, the people at Sharon Baptist Church had a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? I wish to God that it would be said about us. If there's one thing that a church needs, it's a desire to see people saved. And the truth of the matter is simply this, that most members just don't have a real burden for the lost. How long has it been, think about it, since you were burdened over a lost soul? When's the last time that you wept and cried and prayed and had a burden for someone to be saved? How long has it been since you labored in prayer for someone who you knew was dying in their sin? And then lastly, how long has it been since you spoke to a lost sinner about their soul and what Christ could do for it? You see, you and I have a mandate. We must reach the lost. If we seek the Lord in this area of reaching the lost, He might just cause this year to be one of the greatest years of Him using us to fulfill the Great Commission. But you shall receive power. And after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of all the earth. This might be the year This could be the year that we see the results that just astound us and glorify Christ. If you're willing and make yourself available to Him, that might be a reality. This could be the year when we see a lot of people saved for the glory of God. As I close this morning, throughout this whole message, I've been asking you to think about this thought, what if? But as I close, I want you to think about two other words. And these words are, why not? Do you believe that the things that I mentioned are possible? I don't know about you, but I believe that they're possible. Think about it. We serve a God who specializes in amazing and unbelievable things taking place in our lives. We serve a God who in the Bible said that anything is impossible. I wonder, has the Lord shown you things that are possible in your life? Maybe spoken to you about your salvation. And you've heard the gospel presented over and over again. You feel the small, still voice of Christ speaking, of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Perhaps you feel the knock on your heart's door and Jesus is saying, let me come in. What about you? Would you be saved? What about your walk with Him? What about your need for revival? What about your need to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ more effectively? I believe this year here at Sharon Baptist Church, we're on a verge of a great year to bring Him honor and glory. What we need really are some people who can see the possibilities and have the desire to go all out for the Lord for 2022. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, please don't shut Him down. Please don't turn the Lord away. Would you come to the altar? Would you get with the Lord and do whatever He wants you to do in obedience to Him? What if this is the year when everything changes? What if this is the year of renewal, the year of rejoicing, the great year of a great revival here at Sharon Baptist Church? And what if this was the year of reaching? Why not? It can be.